Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. This morning's message is brought by Pastor Shane Budby.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so continuing with our I Declare.
Yay!
I know sometimes we've usually, when we have a series, it's usually for a month, but there's so much stuff to declare. We were just talking upstairs that, you know, we could just like have I Declare as our constant thing and just, you know, so much and you know, and then start it all over again because we've got stuff that we have been declaring but we need to do more and we need to know more about. So we're going to continue with this because there's still so much stuff. And just to recap, as I do each week, just to say that, you know, we're looking at what we should declare and what we should say, rather than focusing on what we shouldn't say. Because sometimes when we try to focus on what we shouldn't do and what we shouldn't say, guess what? The thing that we think about and the thing that we do is the thing that we're thinking about not doing.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So just a little test. Just close your eyes. Don't think about your favourite chocolate bar. Okay, how many people had a chocolate bar come into their head at that moment?
Yeah.
Of course you did. There you go, you see, we try and we say, okay, and not that we brush these things under the carpet because that's not dealing with stuff, but, and not that we, I'm just like, no, it's like a Tyrannosaurus Rex on the windowsill at the back there, that's like, how strange. As we do that, we don't just like brush things under the carpet and not deal with it. We've got to deal with the stuff. But yes, sometimes dealing with the stuff is to declare the things that God wants us to declare. Yes. And you know, sometimes if you're like me, you find yourself in a situation where you're struggling with something and you're thinking so much about it that it just becomes the problem consumes you, as opposed to focusing on God and letting God consume you and help you deal and move forward with that stuff. So the whole point of I Declare is looking at stuff that we should be declaring and say, okay, well, I can see that this is going on in my life, but I'm not going to focus so much on that. I'm going to focus on what God wants me to focus on. You know, we're told in the Word of God, in the Bible, that, you know, think on these things, think on things that are pleasant, things that are good, think on hope, think on love, think on all those great things. And God never tells us to think on our problems. He tells us to think on what is good.
Yes.
So when we're thinking on those things and we're thinking on those things and we're declaring those things, then we start to see a shift in our attitude, we see a shift in our culture, and we see a shift in the way we go about our day-to-day life, because we become more like Christ in a way that says, okay, well, yes, I'm dealing with my problems, but the way I'm dealing with that problem is I'm declaring and standing in the way God wants me to do. I'm going to declare that God is helping me on this. God is going to do those things, and all the things that we've looked at so far and the things we're going to look at in the next few weeks. So today is a bit more different to the previous ones. The things that we've been declaring in the last few weeks of this series have been more like, we declare something. I'm going to try and help this make sense. We declare something and we do something about it. But in that declaration, it requires God to do something else. So when we're declaring breakthrough, that requires God to break through like a rushing flood into that situation. That requires God to do something on our behalf. When we're declaring that I will experience God's faithfulness, then God needs to go to work on our behalf and operate in faithfulness in some way that is different. And so some of the declarations we've had have been very much there's also that potential sometimes that I declare it and now I'm going to sit and watch and see what God does. Whereas today's declaration is a bit more, you declare it, and it's a declare and do. I declare, I do. A declare and do. So it's something that God has already done. God has already done the work on this particular declaration. He has completely, you know, it's ticked the box, it's done. The work on God's part is done with regards to this particular declaration. It is a declaration that requires us to declare it and then for us personally to do something about it, to activate it, to work it out in our own lives, led by the Holy Spirit, led by God. The only job God has in this declaration is continuing to guide us by His Holy Spirit. He doesn't need to go to work on anything else in this particular situation because He's already given us everything we need for this. And so the declaration today is, I declare I am extraordinary. I am not average. I have been custom made. I am one of a kind.
Wow.
I'm going to say that again because I just like saying it. I declare I am extraordinary. I am not average. I have been custom made. I am one of a kind. And, you know, you're probably thinking, oh, here we go again. Pastor Shane's talking about, you know, destiny and being made by God and custom made. But, you know, this is a passion for me. I love Once this clicked in my own personal life, my relationship with God transformed completely. And when I recognized and I knew that who I was in God, and I got the whole in Christ Jesus stuff down, then it transformed my life. And as I live that way, I know I can make this declaration, but yet there's still parts of this declaration that I need to access and that I need to do something about. So let's dive into it. So yes, we're extraordinary and we're not average. We have been custom made, and you are one of a kind. You are one of a kind.
That's
just great, isn't it?
Yeah.
One of a kind. There's nobody else like you. Never has been, never will be. And you're God's own masterpiece.
Yeah.
We're told in the Bible that you are God's own masterpiece. That means that you are not ordinary or average. You're a one of a kind, original. A proper masterpiece. There's no copies. It's just the one thing. The artist made that one thing. A true masterpiece, there's one of a kind, there's one of them. No, but you know, you can get prints and copies, like at the National Museum, you can get a postcard with a constable painting on it or something, but there's nothing as priceless as the actual thing that's hanging on the wall in the museum, because there are no more. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, you ask an artist to reproduce the amazing masterpieces, and they probably can't do it. They probably struggle to do it. You know, I struggle to get my signature the same every time. Let alone a masterpiece. You know, like sometimes I do, it's like, oh no, that didn't look the same as last time. So, you know, sometimes you do it and you just get a bit lazy, and it's just like, that's nothing like my signature. It's just like a squiggle, but it gets through anyway. But anyway, but you know, so ask an artist, you know, it's a one of a kind original. You're a one of a kind original. And when God created you, he went to great lengths to make you exactly the way that he wanted you. When an artist is producing a masterpiece, they go to great lengths to produce it the way they want to see that masterpiece looking, whether it's sculptures, whether it's art, whether it's a song, whatever it might be. But he wanted you to be a specific way, and he went to great lengths to make sure that happened. You're not meant to be like anyone else.
That's right.
So, you know, this morning is a bit more, it's less kind of teachy, a bit more, you know, let's just get built up and strengthen in some of the truth of what God really thinks about us today. Okay. You're not meant to be like anyone else, you know. I would love to be Captain America. I really would. You know, not even Captain America. I'd settle to just be Steve Rogers without the uniform. But, you know, that's not going to happen. That's not who God's made me to be. I'd love to be Sylvester Stallone in The Expendables. And, you know, but, you know, it's not going to happen. All these people that I've like... And, you know, for me, growing up, for me, it was something that I did idolise people. So whatever it was I was involved in, I'd just take to somebody. And they'd be everything. So I'd like the posters of them, and I'd want to. You know, I'm still a bit like it now. So there's a guy that I'm like an American footballer. I'm thinking is great at the moment. It's like, oh, I'm gonna have to get his jersey for Christmas, and you know, just like not idol worship anymore. It wasn't really idol worship, but I'd look at somebody and think, I want to be that person. So like particularly when I was playing rugby, there'd be a certain player that I'd just think, you know, I want to be that person. So I'd even like go to the lens of like saying, okay, I want to buy those clothes so I can dress like that person. I want the boots so I can be like that person. And I'm not the only one. I saw one of the Just for Kids kids at Foss Park with his family, and he was really disappointed because he'd gone to Sports Direct to get his new football boots, but they didn't have his size in the Ronaldo boots, and they had to be Ronaldo boots. So, you know, we all do it, don't we? We all kind of like, we look at somebody else and we think, I want to be like that person. I want to be able to play like that person, or live like that person, or dress like that person, or like be like that person. But that's not how God has made us. He's made us to be us.
Mm-hmm.
A masterpiece.
Yeah.
In our own, gifted in our own, in our own abilities. And the way we're able to do that is by knowing who God has made us to be. When we start to look at those things, it makes a massive difference in our lives, and we get our focus off trying to be somebody else and our focus onto being who God has created us to be, being the masterpiece that he has made us. And sometimes we might feel like, you know, our life looks a bit ordinary. But when you understand the value, not only of who you are, but whose you are, that makes a big difference. So when we declare these things, it's not only about who we are, but it's about whose we are.
Yeah.
When we give our life to God, we are God's.
Yeah.
Our value is found in who we are and who we belong to.
Oh,
our value, you know, sometimes we find value in connection with people, but when we find our value in the fact that, okay, I see who God's made me to be, I see I'm this person, I have these gifts, I've been created in this way, It's great, but when we eventually take it to that next level and we say, I'm so extraordinary and I'm not average because I belong to God. I am God's. And God doesn't have rubbish possessions.
Right.
God doesn't have rubbish things.
Yeah.
God only has treasures.
Yeah.
God only has amazing things. God only has extraordinary things. And when we realize that, it starts to shift our focus and our declaration starts to become alive, starts to become, have a fire behind it that says, ah, yeah, I recognize that. Yeah, I've got that whole thing of I know who I am, but now I know whose I am. And that brings a whole new realm into the situation when we start to take a hold of that. And when we know that, we love ourselves more and we're able to love other people around us more in a greater way as well, because it just flows out of us. And realizing that, because who we belong to, that makes us extremely valuable. Because we belong to God, we're extremely valuable.
That's good.
Yeah. So never think you're not valuable or think that, you know, well, I can't say that declaration because it's not true for me.
Yeah.
If you are God's, it's true.
Yes.
You are valuable.
Yeah.
And I just want to go into a bit of a story. I've not told any stories for a while. I've told my own stories, but this is a story I came across, which I just thought was great, and it kind of just sums up a little bit where we're going. So here we go, story time. And this is about a guy who he lived in a tiny apartment and died in extreme poverty. At one point in his life, he'd even been homeless, living on the streets, and this man never had any successes to speak of or any noted victories. He lived and died as just another face in the crowd. At the funeral, some family members went to his little rundown apartment to clear out his belongings, and they found a painting hanging on the wall. So they decided to sell it at a car boot sale or a garage sale, if you're an American. The woman who bought it from the car boot sale took it to a local art gallery to get it, I think they call it an appraisal, have an appraisal at the art gallery. And she was shocked to discover that the painting was extremely valuable. The piece of art that hung for so many years in this little rundown apartment was painted by a famous artist who lived in the early 1800s. So, you know, being sensible, as probably all would. Because I don't want the piece, I don't want a painting. The woman decided to auction it off, and the painting ended up selling for several million dollars. That's not bad, is it? I always, you know, when I was a kid, I always used to try to do that. If we went somewhere as a car boot, I'd always try to find an antique. And my granddad still got it, actually. I once bought this like little bust of Nelson, and it's like a little metal thing, which I was like, it's an antique, look, it looked really old, it's like, it's an antique, and I bought it from my granddad, I was saying, look, I got it from a car boot, it's a really good deal, it's an antique, and then looked underneath, and it had printed underneath, Sugar Puffs. And it was like, I don't think it's an antique, Shane, but thank you anyway. I was like, I was so disappointed, I thought I'd found the jackpot, but it, you know, it was just something out of a cereal box. It was a very, you know, it must be like a Sugar Puffs were really posh people, because I never got like cast iron toys in my cereals. But anyway, he's still got it on his mantelpiece, bless him, it's great. Still sits there, Sugar Puffs logo on and all. Yeah. But, you know, just think how this guy in the story, how this man's life might have changed if he'd known the value of what he possessed.
Yeah.
If he'd known the value of what he had. He'd been living in poverty, he'd been struggling through, he'd been in an absolute mess, and all this time, he'd got this valuable item right in his midst every single day. He'd probably sat looking at the painting thinking, you know, what's gone wrong? Why am I in this little rundown thing, and the only thing I've got is this painting? And the painting turns out to be worth several million dollars. His life could have been completely transformed, but because he didn't know the value of what he possessed, he missed out on having that. He missed out on it, and for us, it's so often the case that we're living with priceless treasure that God has entrusted to us. We're living with a priceless treasure on the inside of us. We're living with an extraordinary, priceless treasure, and we don't sometimes even know it. Sometimes we have to explore what's on the inside of us to really understand what we have, and not settling for just mediocre. When we start to look on the inside of what God has truly placed within us, what God has truly put on the inside of us, as we start to do that, as we start to step into that, as we start to move into that, we start to see the value of the things that we have got from God. God has placed something on the inside of us. God has placed valuable possessions. God has placed valuable treasures, valuable seeds. You know, it's not just you're not just a valuable to God in yourself, but what God has placed on the inside of you is valuable as well. Are we getting the idea of this? That the value that rests upon this, that this declaration isn't just a feel-good thing, or saying, hey, I'm extraordinary. Oh yeah, I'm awesome. You know, everything is awesome according to Lego Movie, but you know, it's you've had that on repeat this week. So it's certain things, it goes in seasons. So we've kind of ended up with we know winter's on the way because we've had Frozen on the last two mornings. So it's kind of like, yeah, it gets a bit colder and that comes out. It's like, how do they know? But, you know, yeah, everything is awesome. You are awesome. You know, I've taken it down now, but Charlene made this great little poster when I was having a rough time at one point, and it just had like a picture of me and a lightning bolt, and just said, Pastor Shane is awesome. And I had it on my whiteboard for ages, and I've still got it. I'll put it up when I need it. But, you know, as we take a hold of that, it's extraordinary. We're extraordinary. We're not average. As we take a hold of those things and recognize, okay, I'm priceless to God, and what God has placed in me is also priceless.
Yes.
We're not to settle for the mediocre. We're not to settle for the things that the world sometimes says, well, you know what, you've just been dealt a bad hand in life. Don't, you know, you can't do that. You know, I had a great thing on a program where the guy was just encouraging somebody else, and he says, you know, what are you going to do about this? Are you going to sit around crying? Or are you going to take the bad hand that life's dealt you and reshuffle it and get up and get going? And I was like, how cool is that? Yeah, sometimes we just have to take the cards that we've been dealt. We need to reshuffle and recalibrate and say, okay, you know what? I'm not settling for the cards that life's dealt me. I'm going to settle for the deck that God's got. I'm going to settle for what it is that God's saying. I'm going to settle for the extraordinary, not average, custom-made, one-of-a-kind life that God has created for me to live. Because I am God's masterpiece. And you are God's masterpiece, and I can prove it to you. Because I have a scripture right here. So when you're thinking, I'm not God's masterpiece. Okay, so here we go. Ephesians 2:10. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. He planned things long ago. He created you. We are God's masterpiece.
Yes.
So any time that you think, I'm not valuable, I have no value, I've got nothing of value on the inside of me, God must have forgotten about me, I'd probably be in the factory shop of heaven. All these things that we might think to ourselves, like, you know, damaged biscuits and all these kind of things, you know, I go in the damaged biscuit section. Not true, because we are God's masterpiece.
Yeah.
Simple as that. It's not some of you are God's masterpiece. It's not, well, these particular people are God's masterpiece. It's not, well, those that do that are God's masterpiece. It's we are God's masterpiece. Clear cut. No if, what's, or buts. You know, no buts. You know, if you don't believe it, you're a but. But, you know, don't worry about it. You know, you are God's masterpiece. And that is it. That is a simple thing. I don't even really need to read the rest about God creating you for those things. You are God's masterpiece. So when the Bible says that we are God's masterpiece, that is awesome. And I know I've mentioned this before, but it really needs repeating. So the New Testament was written originally in Greek. And the Greek word for masterpiece is poema. It's the where we get the word poem from. So God is saying, you're my poem. You're my masterpiece. Personally, I'm not majorly into poetry. I like silly poetry. You know, like that kind of, like Sylvia Plath stuff is just a bit deep for me. But that kind of, you know, that proper poetry, but like jokey poetry and stuff. I like all that kind of things, like things you might find in the paper or jokey stuff. But poetry is still a masterpiece to somebody. When somebody creates a poem, it's still a masterpiece.
Yeah.
So what God is saying is, you are my poem. I have written and conducted this poem, I have produced this poem, this masterpiece, this thing, and I don't want you copying anybody else, because what I have produced is what I have produced. Yeah. What I have said is what I have said, and what I have done is what I have done. So that is how we need to see the life that God has given us, that we are extraordinary, that we have been given that ability to live in an extraordinary way to such a length that we say, I'm God's masterpiece.
Amen.
I might not sometimes look like a masterpiece. I might not sometimes feel like a masterpiece. I certainly don't feel like a masterpiece at 6:30 on a morning. You know, it's like, I'd be much more of a masterpiece if I have an extra hour in bed. But, you know, but still, it doesn't change the matter how I look and all these things. It doesn't change. I'm still God's masterpiece. Yeah. All the best, Joes. Enjoy Bath, mate. you know, it's that whole thing of moving into a place where we see, okay, God, I'm made by you. I'm your masterpiece. Yes. I'm extraordinary. And as we start to get that, as we start to declare that, as we start to move in that, something shifts and something changes in such a way that as we move into that, we start to not only declare it, but we start to believe it, we start to live it, and we start to build in a confidence, you know, not a cocky kind of confidence, but a confidence. Sometimes it can come across like that, can't it? It can sometimes think, well, he's a bit up himself. It's like, well, no, he's not up himself. He's just a reassured and assured of who he is in God. Like, so, you know, probably wouldn't go down too well if you're walking around work saying, you know, I'm extraordinary, I'm awesome, you know, everybody bow down to me and all those kinds of things, you know. It's just, and it might do, I don't know, might want to try it now. You know what, I'm extraordinary. Just walk up to someone, it's like, okay, right, you are as well. And, you know, but anyway. But you've been, when you start to remind yourself of those things, when you start to make that declaration and you remind yourself that you're important, you're handpicked by God, and you're a person of extreme value and significance. And I know that because if you're not a person of value and a person of significance, then you wouldn't be here. Okay, God doesn't make mistakes. You know, there's a whole thing of like, well, I don't really have any significance. Of course you have significance, because if you didn't, you wouldn't be here. You'd have gone. You'd be off. You'd be out of this section of the whole thing, and you'd be off enjoying the next stage. But, you know, this idea of, well, if I'm still, I know that I'm extraordinary, and I know that I've still got stuff to do. Okay. The moment I don't, then, you know, I'll draw my last breath and I'll be with the angels having a whale of a time in the throne room. Until then, I just have to be with our worship team and enter the throne room that way. But, you know, there's not much difference. It's all good. But I'm extreme, and it's that, and I want to emphasise that extreme value and significance, because extreme value and extreme significance is more than just saying, oh, yeah, well, I'm valuable, I'm significant. No, you are of extreme value and significance to God, because he's still got something for you to do. Because he's chosen you to do that. 1 Peter 2:9 says this: "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." A chosen people. We know that from our biblical history that Israel and the Jews were God's original chosen people and still are God's chosen people. But praise God, through Jesus' death, we're grafted into that. So thank you, Jesus, that we get to be a part of that promise. They're still God's chosen people. We just get to come along and be a part of that as well. And we are God's chosen people. We are a royal priesthood, and our lives become a holy nation. As the place of Israel is a holy nation, we become a part of that. We become grafted into that. We become another section of what God is doing in this world at this moment, because we're a chosen people, and to be chosen is great, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, nobody wants to be the last person on the line up against the wall when people are picking teams for football. You know, I never really got picked first in football, but rugby was different. Football was just like, no, you can't. It's all right throwing the ball. You can't kick a ball, and you know. And then so you get picked last, and then the last kicking the tee for you get stuck in the nets as well, and it's like, oh, that's just boring. But you know, nobody wants to be that person.
No.
But we're not that person.
No.
There are no lineups. There are no, I'll have you and you. God's just like, you're chosen.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay.
It's just like, okay, all of you, you with me. Okay, there's no like you and you. It's just all of you this way. You're on my team. God has chosen you. John 15:16, the beginning part of that 16 scripture. You didn't choose me, I chose you.
No.
See, we think when we made a choice to follow Jesus, we chose him. And yes, we did, but he chose you first.
Yeah.
Okay, you're just catching up. Okay, we're just catching up to what Jesus has already said. It's like, well, I chose you ages ago. I chose you when you were created. I chose you when the Father dreamt you up. I chose you when God created you into this world. You're just catching up. So, well done. You've caught up. I'm glad that you've chosen me now, but I chose you first. I'm glad that you've chosen to follow me, but I chose you first because I see the significance.
Yes.
I see the value. I see that you're extraordinary. I see that God, the way God has custom made us. So you are chosen. You're created in the image of Almighty God. That's awesome.
Yeah.
He made you exactly the way he intended and equipped you with everything that you needed. And I'm constantly praying this most days. God, I thank you for the grace you've given me for today. God, I thank you that today I've got a tool bag that you have kitted me up with, and everything that I need to do today is in that tool bag. I'm sure, like everybody else, we all get to a point where we want to start fixing tomorrow's problems with today's tools, and we just can't do it. It just doesn't work. It's like, okay, I've got this problem I'm thinking about. It's like, but I don't have the I don't have the grace, and I don't have the kit to do that. It's like, let me deal with today, then I'll get on to tomorrow. No, I'm not saying don't be prepared. Don't take that as an excuse to not be like prepared and think, well, I'll just do that tomorrow. You know, preparation is good, but don't go trying to fix stuff that God never planned for you to fix today. Use what God has given you today. Every single day he gives us that new refreshing, he gives us that new equipping, and the stuff from today that's not used, guess what? It's no good tomorrow. It's just like the manna in the desert. You know, some of them tried to keep it, didn't they? Thinking, oh, this stuff's good, we'll have some for tomorrow. But they couldn't get in their heads that, well, it's just going to keep reproducing, that the stuff you tried to save just was going to spoil. So, but God has made you so good and so extraordinary and so amazing that today is released into you the grace and the tools and everything you need to be the person he's called you to be today. In the image of Almighty God, you have the strength to stand strong in the midst of a difficult situation and the wisdom it takes to make good decisions. You've got the wisdom to make good decisions today. Now, some of those decisions you make today might be about things in the future, but he hasn't given you the wisdom or the strength to deal with the problems that are going to occur tomorrow or some of the stuff that you might need to answer tomorrow. He's given you what you need to answer the questions that are going to come today, and he's given you the strength to deal with the problems that are going to come today as well. And, you know, I like to fix things pretty quickly. I like to have things done and dusted. I'm a plough-through, done and dusted kind of person. It's kind of like, I could take a break, but, you know, I just want to get it done, especially when I'm decorating or something like a task kind of orientated job. It's like, I just want to get there. It's probably why I was never a tradesman, because I'd be in my grave by now. I'd just be like, you know, I'd just be like, I'm going to keep going. You know, I just can't do it. But that whole thing of recognising that what I've got today is for who I am today. Yeah. And who God has made me to be today. And you know, it is to be extraordinary and to recognise I'm custom made today. And as I step into that, I can see I'm chosen. I can see I'm a masterpiece. I can see that he chose me. And he's given me everything I need to live in that revelation and live in the fullness of that. Understanding exactly who you are and how you fit in God's plan creates purpose, confidence and identity. Purpose, confidence, identity. You're a person of destiny. Every single one of us is a person of destiny. Yeah. You have an assignment and you are full of gifts, talents, encouragement and love to fulfill that particular assignment. I absolutely love, adore, get excited about that picture, the fact that God says, this is what I've got for you. And then it's a bit like he opens the armory. And there's all this stuff. It's like, and here's the stuff that you need to do. It's like, whoa, awesome. A bit like, you know, on the, again, I use the Matrix a lot. When it's like, we need weapons. It's like, what weapons do you need? It's like, all of them. It's just like, and like this like big massive corridor just appears with like thousands and thousands of things. I think that's what it's like with God. It's like, okay, this is what I've got for you to do today. And here's what I've got for you to do it with. And it's like, whoa, I just sometimes wish I could physically see what God has equipped me with each day. Like the spiritual weapons that God has equipped me with each day, the spiritual nunchucks and the spiritual swords and the spiritual ninja stars and the spiritual, you know, all these amazing, the spiritual like daggers and all these kinds of things, the spiritual stuff, like completely kitted out with all this stuff to say, okay, I know this is what God has got for me in this extraordinary day because I'm extraordinary. This is all the gear he's given me. I'm going to blast today because I know that I've got everything from God. Because he has given me everything. Because when he chose me to do this, he gave me the stuff I needed to do it as well. Yeah. So, you know, sometimes I just get that picture of knowing, like, I'm going to this day, it might be difficult, but, you know, I've got awesome weapons. Yeah. I've got awesome skills. Yeah. A bit like I'm Taken, if anybody's seen that. Yeah. And he's like, you know, they've just taken his daughter, and he gets on the phone to the guys, and he's kind of like, and they're like, who is this? He's like, yeah. It's like, okay, I'm going to give you this last opportunity to get rid of to give my daughter back. Otherwise, I'm coming after you. And I've spent my life acquiring skills and gifts and talents that help me take down people like you. And the guy just says, good luck. And anybody that's seen the film knows that, you know, Liam Neeson gets all like gets his groove on and his and goes and like does the whole like ninja thing and gets his daughter back. And I just love the fact that idea of it. It's a bit like when we have it, like stuff comes along, it's like, you know what, God's equipped me. Well, I don't know what I'm on a phone. I've got my phone here. I don't need to be on, I don't need to be on a phone. God's equipped. It's like, you know what, problem, God's equipped me with amazing things. I'm extraordinary. I'm chosen. And he's equipped me with skills, gifts and talents that make life a nightmare for problems like you. So I'm going to give you this opportunity to go, otherwise I'm going to make your life a nightmare. And sometimes when we get that attitude, it's like, you know, whoa, come on. That's, I love it. It's like, yeah, come on. But, you know, that's why, like, you know, people, you know, we love, I love weapons, like physical weapons. You know, the idea of spiritual weapons applies to me because I love physical weapons, like royal armouries and stuff like that. That's why the turtles are so good. You know, that's why the turtles have lasted from the 80s till now and are still going strong. Because of the weapons, you've got four mutant turtles that have got four different kinds of weapons. It's like, you know, kids love turtles. You know, you speak to a kid under 10, it's like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Yeah, they're so cool. I loved it, still do. I'm kind of waiting for Elijah to get into that at the moment. But, you know, you've got Michelangelo with... come on, guys. What does Michelangelo have as weapons?
Paintbrush.
A paintbrush. Very good. Nunchucks. Raphael. Daggers. Donatello. Wooden staff. Leonardo.
Swords.
There you go. I expected some guys to be a bit more clued up on that. I'm highly disappointed. Highly disappointed. But, you know, we've got these weapons to do what it is that he's created us to do, and not just the spiritual weapons, but the giftings and everything else to use them. You know, it's no good as being given something. I'm going to clue how to do that. You know, like, I had some plastic nunchucks when I was a kid, but I don't have a clue what I was doing with them. Got to crack around the head more times trying to swing them around and stuff and do all the kinds of things. Like, but God doesn't do that. He doesn't say, here you go, here's these awesome things, now figure it out. It's like, here's these things, and I'm also giving you gifts and skills to know how to use them, because you're extraordinary. Yeah. Because you're chosen, because you're not mediocre, because you're not average, because you've been chosen to be who God has called you to be. You have rich treasure on the inside of you. All the rich treasures that other people need out of your life, all the rich treasures that you need to get through your life, the rich treasure that's in you is there. You have more than you realise, and you can accomplish more than you think is possible.
Yeah.
We limit ourselves sometimes. Our declarations are sometimes so small and so minuscule that we think our gods are like, come on, I want you to declare some of this big stuff. Declare some of this big stuff because that is what I've got for you. Don't be limited by your human thinking. Step into what it is I've got for you. Dare to be bold. Believe that you're a person of destiny because you can leave your mark on this generation. Every single one of us, whatever that mark may be, however big, small, whatever it might look like, we have all got an ability to leave our mark on this generation in some capacity, because that is why we've been created. God has put us on this earth for a purpose, and we might not be famous, we might not be in storybooks or history books about what we've achieved in this generation, but we have stuff to achieve in this generation, and that is amazing because we're extraordinary and we're here to do that. Understand that you're important and that your importance is for now. You've been called, and you have been called to add value to the world around you. You're called to be a person of extraordinary gift, skill and value, and to bring value into the world around you. No matter where your life is today, you've got the potential to increase, to grow and to be strengthened and to move forward, because it's all there. Whatever it is today, however today looks, what God has placed on the inside of you is far greater than anything that's going to come against you. Far greater.
Yeah.
You are the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, you are the Liam Neeson intake, and you are the one that faces these problems and says, you know what problem? You better go, otherwise this is going to get really nasty for you. Mm. I'm not talking about other people. Don't do that with other people. As if you know, I'm talking about a spiritual dynamic. I'm not going to somebody after church and say, you know what, you've been a real problem, so better get out of my way, otherwise this is going to get nasty. That's not what I'm talking about, you know. I'm talking about those spiritual things that come against us. You just say, you know what? I know I'm extraordinary in God. I know I'm valuable because I'm who's created me and who I belong to. And I'm not going to allow this thing to get in my way. God created you for a good purpose. And you know that without a shadow of a doubt, you are his masterpiece.
Yes.
And I bring us back round to that you're created to be God's masterpiece. You were his masterpiece. You are his masterpiece. You're chosen. You're extraordinary. And you're here to live in such a way that God is saying, okay, masterpiece, these are all the things I've equipped you with, and this is what I've got for you to do. Now do it.
Yes.
Don't sit back. Don't wait. Make the declaration and do. I declare, I do. Because God's saying, okay, this is your move now. It's your move on this situation. So often, I mentioned this earlier in the prayer meeting, we call on God to move, and God's kind of saying back to us, well, I already have. I've already moved. Now it's your turn. In this particular declaration, God's already moved. He created you with a purpose. He made you extraordinary. He kitted you out with everything that you need, every spiritual weapon, every spiritual gift, every talent, everything that you need, you have got. Because you are extraordinary and you are not average. You have been custom made and you are one of a kind. You are custom made to fulfill that particular gap and that particular purpose. And once again, I know I've mentioned this before in the past, but how the fact that God didn't create you and dream you up and then think of something for you to do.
Yeah.
He saw that there was a need and he created you to fulfill that need. He didn't look at a job, he didn't create you, then draw up a job description and say, okay, well, this is kind of what you can do. He saw there was a job description that needed to be fulfilled. He saw that there was something in this generation right now that needed to be done. And he got to work on creating you in the extraordinary custom-made way to say, that person is equipped in that particular way to address that particular problem and that particular issue. And that is you, and that is me, and that is every single one of us. As we step into that, as we step into what it is that God's got for us, we find fulfillment, we find the amazing stuff. And the extraordinary way that God moves is extraordinary in our lives. And other people see that. I think, how can you be self-fulfilled? And some people might think what we do and what you do in your life is minimal. It's like, well, that's nothing. But actually, in the grand scheme of things, in eternity, if you're achieving what God has called you to do, then the rewards to come are a big, big deal.
Yeah.
You know, it's just being who God wants us to be and doing what God wants us to do. And I should imagine that anybody that is following Jesus, that's all we want to do, really. That's all we want to do is to live our life in such a way where we can make this declaration and say, you know what, I know God's made me, I know I'm his, and I know what it is he wants me to do. So let's close by making this declaration together. And as I say, we're not just saying it, let's declare it. So you've got to have a bit of a grunt behind it, okay? It's kind of like, come on, so. I declare I am extraordinary.
I am not average.
I have been custom made.
I am one of a kind.
Amen. Excellent. Praise God.